For today, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues his message, Live to Please God, as we pick up in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. And now, with today's study, here's Pastor Chuck.
Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Paul the Apostle was called of God by the Spirit to go to Macedonia, as he saw in a vision a man from Macedonia saying, come over and help us. It was good that Paul did have a dramatic call of God, because I'm certain that once he arrived in Macedonia and experienced some of the adverse reception, he could have very well questioned, Lord, did you really call me here? His first stop was at Philippi, where evil men were stirred up against him, and they had him arrested and beaten, and he was thrown in the dungeon and then ordered out of town. He next went to Thessalonica, where after 3 Sabbath days in the synagogue, almost the whole town gathered to hear his message, but the Jews were stirred by envy, and again, Paul had to leave town to save arrest. They had gone to the house of Jason, where Paul was staying, to arrest him, but he had already escaped. Having been such a short time in Thessalonica, they went to Berea. Trouble stirred in Berea. Paul left Timothy and Silas there as he went on to Athens to sort of get the whole situation cooled down a bit. When Timothy and Silas had strengthened the brethren in Berea, they met Paul in Athens, but Paul's heart was stirred concerning those in Thessalonica that he had had such a short time to minister to, only 3 Sabbath days, wondering how they were doing. He was stirred in his heart for them. He sent Timothy back to Thessalonica. He went on to Corinth and began a ministry in Corinth. Timothy met Paul in Corinth, reported to him the condition of the church in Thessalonica. Basically, things were going on very well, but some problems had arisen. And so Paul immediately wrote to them to encourage them in the faith. And now, as we come into the 4th chapter, we have a definite change in the division of the book, because in chapter 4, Paul begins his exhortation. Up to this point, it's been sort of an apologetic, and now he begins to exhort them, and he declares it in verse 1. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received us, how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. Again, as we mentioned last week, I am amazed that Paul was able to give them so much instruction in so many areas of doctrine in such a very short time. With them, less than a month. And yet he established them in sound doctrine. But as he said, he was laboring night and day among them. But even, he said, as I talked to you before, how you ought to walk and please God. The basic desire of each of us should be to please God. That's the key to the Christian life. The man who is outside of Jesus Christ lives to please himself. The man who is in Jesus Christ lives to please God. The man who lives to please himself is rarely pleased. The man who lives to please God has found real satisfaction. I think one of the greatest pleasures in life is to know that you've done that which pleased the Father. I walk today in the will of God. As Jesus said, I do always those things that please the Father, and so ought we to live, to please God. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. Now you remember in the 15th chapter of Acts, when the early church had gathered to determine what relationship the Gentile believers should have to the law. Peter said, I suggest that we put no burden upon them, that neither we, the yoke of bondage on them, that neither we nor our fathers were able to bear. Paul testified of the miracles that were wrought through grace among the Gentiles. And then James says, let's put on them no greater burden than you've already received. Keep yourself from things that are strangled and from fornication, and if you do this, you do well. God bless you. The Greek culture, the Roman culture, was a culture in which fornication was a very common practice. In that pagan society, much of the worship of their gods involved fornication, as they sought to become one with their gods, and many of the spiritual rites within their temple were fornication. It was a very common practice in that culture. And so Paul is exhorting them again to live a pure life, a sanctified life, a life that is set apart unto God, and to keep themselves from the common practice of fornication. If ever there was a time when Paul's exhortation was needed, it is today, as we have again evolved into a pagan society. And these very practices have become extremely common again. It's a very accepted thing in our society. I was reading an interesting commentary that was written back in 1951. And in this commentary, it told about an article in the Woman's Home Journal in the October 1951 issue, I believe it was, that was an article against the smut and the pornography that had begun at that time to enter into the United States, and how the city of Chicago was able to deal with it and get rid of all the smut peddlers and all of the pornography out of the city. 1951. But look how much we have degraded since then. And with the introduction of all of the pornography, I don't know if you can get a novel that's been written in the last 40 years that isn't centered around sexual subjects, incest, and all kinds of sexual experiences. It's in all of the novels. It's just something that has pervaded the literature. And with it, an attitude of laxity towards real moral living. And so Paul's exhortation to the Thessalonians is an important exhortation in our day that we are different from the world. We are not to live to please our own flesh. We are to live to please God. We are to keep our lives separate from the world and from the corruption of the world in order that we might live a life that is pleasing unto Him. And so this is God's will for you, that you live a separated life, a life of dedication and consecration to God, and keep yourself from fornication. Paul in Galatians 5 lists fornication as a part of the works of the flesh. But at the end of that list of the works of the flesh, he says something that we better pay close attention to. He said, "For we know that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Paul said, don't be deceived on this issue. And there are a lot of people that are deceived, thinking that they can live any kind of a life that they want and God will accept their lower standard of living. But God demands a high standard from His children. And Paul said that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Your vessel being your body. We have this treasure, Paul said, in earthen vessels or in our bodies, that the glory may be of God and not of us. But you ought to know how to keep your body in sanctification and honor, in purity, and not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. Vast difference between us and the world around us. And there should be. That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. Now, again, Paul said, I testified to you about this. Be honest and fair in your dealings with your brothers. We're not to defraud our brothers. My heart is grieved over the problems that have arisen within the body of Christ. And especially in these days when a lot of the various businesses advertise with Christian symbols. And you expect from a Christian, you want to patronize them because, first of all, you want the Christians to have the business. You hope for their success in business. But you also expect honesty, forthrightness in dealing with a Christian. You expect him to be honest. You know the problems of taking a car to a mechanic. There's just a lot of corrupt practices. There's a lot of unnecessary charges. There are a lot of charges for work that isn't done. And so if you find a Christian mechanic, you get excited and you say, oh, I can trust him. And we should be able to. And so in any business, Paul here is warning, don't defraud, don't cheat. Be square, be honest. I told you this when I was there. I forewarned you that God is the avenger. Now this is the problem, I think, with our society, is that we have failed to take into consideration that there is a day of reckoning coming. that there is a day of judgment coming. People have gotten by with so much. They've been able to get by, and of course, with the leniency of our courts today, they're getting by with more and more. Just hope that you don't get arrested for or pressed by the IRS. That's about the only thing you go to prison for anymore. You know, or like this poor woman, Betty Beattie, who hit her child because the courts ordered her to deliver him over to her homosexual husband. And so she's facing imprisonment, though murderers and rapists can walk our streets. She's a danger to our society, hiding her son from her homosexual husband and not turning him over for the visitation rites. And she needs to be dealt with and put in prison and taught a lesson. What a danger to our society. But don't worry, you know. I cannot understand. Well, no sense getting into that. I just... So don't defraud your brother, because God's going to judge you. God is the avenger of all such which do that. And we've warned you about the judgment of God that's going to come. Paul was faithful in warning them. And I think that we need to warn people about the judgment of God. You're not going to get by. Ultimately, God is going to judge. He is the avenger of those that do such things. For God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. God said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord." And God has called us to holy living, to pure living, living before Him in all righteousness and purity and holiness. And he therefore that despises, that is, despises holiness, the holy life, is not despising man but God. For God has given to us His Holy Spirit. A lot of times when, you know, you start really emphasizing the living of a holy life and things of this nature, people get upset with you, as though we were the ones that made the rules. No, we didn't make the rules. We weren't called to make the rules. We were called to declare to you the rules that God has made. And if you have any argument with holiness, your argument is with God. And this is what Paul is saying to them. You're not really having an argument with man. You're having an argument with God. He is the one that has given us His Holy Spirit. Psychologists tell us that a person's mental equilibrium or well-balanced life depends upon the difference between their ego and their superego. Your ego being your real self and your superego being your ideal self. And if there is a vast difference between your ego and your superego, then you are mentally disturbed because of this difference that exists between the two. And the closer a person's ego is to their superego, the more well-adjusted that person is mentally. And so when a person is having a conflict, and he has very high ideals, the superego, this is me as I really, you know, am within my heart and all. This is the way I really know I should live and want to live, but this is the way I'm living. And if there's a vast difference between the two, then I have real mental problems and I go to a head shrink and I tell him, hey, I just not getting along with anybody and all. And so he seeks to understand what my superego is. How do I perceive myself? And then these things that I'm doing and that are troubling me. And the general practice is to bring my superego down closer to my ego. You're unrealistic. Nobody lives that purely. You know, that's foolish to think that you should, you know, not do those things. Everybody is doing those things. And what they're trying to do is bring down the level of the superego or bring down your ideals more in keeping with the reality of your own nature. When we come to Jesus Christ, He seeks to bring the ego up to the superego. Now, if we are guilty of trying to bring man's superego down to the level of the ego, then we are not really following the scriptural pattern. For the gospel of Jesus Christ is always lifting and elevating a man into a life of purity and righteousness and holiness. And so God has given to us His Holy Spirit. And what is the purpose of the Holy Spirit? To conform us into the image of Jesus Christ. For you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be witnesses. You can achieve the ideal. You can walk in holiness and purity as God has required us to walk. And God, by the power of His Spirit, will lift us into a higher level of living, closer to the ideal. And in fact, more and more we come closer to the ideal. For as we with an open face beholding the glory of the Lord, we're being changed from glory to glory into the same image. So the gospel is so elevating as it brings man up into the level that God would have him to live. God's not called us unto uncleanness. He's called us unto holiness. And He has given us His Holy Spirit.
Designed for the student of God's Word, the New Testament Study Guide from the Word for Today is a valuable companion to your Bible. In this helpful resource, Pastor Chuck Smith provides a clear, verse-by-verse overview of the New Testament, designed to help you understand and study the Bible more effectively. Studying alongside your Bible, you'll discover key words that clarify important Greek terms, excerpts from the Calvary Chapel distinctives, and Bible maps, charts, and diagrams that help bring the text to life. You'll also find thoughtful study questions for every book of the New Testament, making this guide ideal for personal study, small groups, or anyone who wants to grow deeper in God's Word. Strengthen your understanding of the Scripture and grow in your walk with Christ. Order the New Testament Study Guide today at twft.com or call 1-800-272-9673. That's 1-800-272-WORD. The New Testament Study Guide, helping you know God's Word and live it. Now, here's Pastor Chuck.
Now may the Lord be with you, and may the Lord watch over you and keep you. In His love and in His grace. May the Lord cause you to abound in every good work for Jesus Christ. And may the Lord grant to you new dimensions of relationship with Him, that you might become more keenly aware of His presence with you and His power to help you. May God bless you. May you have just a fruitful, blessed week walking with Jesus Christ.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of 1 Thessalonians on our next broadcast as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. This message has been provided to you by the generous supporters of the Word for Today. For additional information about how you can support this ministry, please visit us online at thewordfortoday.org. There you'll find free message downloads from Pastor Chuck, as well as links to our podcast and other resources to help you grow in your Christian walk. You can also call us at 1-800-272-9673. Or you can order a physical copy of today's message by mentioning 1 Thessalonians 4. Again, that phone number is 1-800-272-9673. Our office hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today.
Little country church on the edge of town. People coming every day from miles around, for meetings and for Sunday school. And it's very plain to see, it's not the way it used to be.
This program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.